Episode 61.
You go through owning a business and running it, and you start to pick up those habits of, oh, I can't charge for that, or, oh, I can't do that, or, you know, if I do that, my customers are going to leave me. If, you know, if I raise my labor rate $5, everyone's going to go somewhere else. And I think the biggest aha was when I started to do incremental increases, and it was like, wow, nobody noticed, nobody really cared, because they don't really care what my labor rate is. They really don't care what I'm charging per se. Their big thing is, I need my car fixed, and I need it fixed properly, and I need it fixed yesterday.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Keith Katz of Quality Service Center in York, Pennsylvania. Keith, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I'm ready to share.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here, and welcome to the Remarkable Results Podcast, where listening each week provides fresh ideas that can inspire you to change or improve. If not, assure you have a peer out there that thinks like you. Podcasts are on-demand radio. They are also evergreen. So if you want to go back to an episode from 3 months ago, you can go. And as a new listener, you can catch up on all episodes. A great feature, use the category filter on the episode page to dial in on specific genres. Now, Keith Katz, owner of Quality Service Center in York, PA. Keith is an industry veteran of 34 years and an owner for 17. His seven-bay shop has 6 lifts, supports 3 techs with 1 service advisor. He is involved with the NAPA Advisory Board and supports the Bridge of Hope organization that helps local homeless mothers find employment and housing for their families. He is a member of AASP in Pennsylvania and engages ATI as a support partner. We covered the gambit from tech training, processes, suppliers, mentoring, customer service, daily huddles, marketing, and community. Learn what he does to escape and recharge his batteries and what he believes is their number one key to building a great team. Regarding customer retention and differentiation, one discussion that didn't make it to the final reel was his customer gift. Now, this came up after the interview was over, so I asked him for a picture so I could explain it to you. Every customer gets a sealed bag with a special gift inside that changes monthly. These are unique, mostly made-up special theme gifts. They are creatively made and have a theme that coincides with the time of the year. See the picture of the memorable December customer thank you gift, a Kit Kat sleigh. Oh, I'm hungry. Here we go with Keith Katz from Quality Service Center in Yorktown, PA. Keith, what drove you to want to be a business owner?
Well, I can tell you probably since I got into the business, it was always like a dream. I think every mechanic has that dream to be a shop owner someday. Sure. And it was always my dream. And it wasn't until probably 20 some years ago, I was working for another shop at the time, and he actually sent me and paid for me to go to training on how to manage a business.
What a gift.
It was. And the whole premise behind it was to help build his business some. And so I went to this training, and I'm sitting in these classes. I'm like, wow, we're really missing the boat on a lot of things. This can easily be done. And so we went back and started implementing a lot of those things in his shop, but he was more of a, well, yeah, all right, let's not do that, or you know what, don't do it that way, do it this way. And so a lot of the things that were being taught to us to be successful, he was not allowing me to implement. And so it pretty much came to a point where I was like, you know what, I think I can do this on my own. And so I just started looking for the opportunity, and the rest is history.
Do you think he saw something in you that would have allowed him to do the things for the business that he didn't want to do?
No, I think it was more of a, he realized that he wasn't getting any further in the business doing it the way he was doing it.
But still, he didn't want to implement some of the things that you found out from the rest of the world were important.
That was the interesting thing. You know, he sends me to classes and I learn all this stuff. He spends money for me to learn this. And then he says, well, let's not do that. I'm like, okay.
You know, one of the big problems of an owner sending any one of their people to a training seminar and not going themselves is that exact thing. They don't have the buy-in and totally understand, you know, what the outcome could be. That's a great story on how you started. Now, is there anything that wakes you up from a deep sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Did I pay my taxes?
Okay. that would do it.
No, in seriousness, probably the one thing that would wake me up and that does wake me up is when you go through those slow times and you start thinking, oh, man, I still got this to pay and that to pay and this is due and that's due. And you looked at the schedule and tomorrow there's nothing on the schedule or something like that. That wakes me up out of a deep sleep real quick.
Did I do this right? Did I, you know, people talk about seeding their marketing plans, that you don't decide to become a great marketer when business is slow. You do it 360 days a year, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, you're always going to have those slow times, and you can still prepare for them, but they're always going to sneak up on you somewhere. And that's the one thing that, you know, I can be fast asleep, and I can roll over at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be like, oh, man, what's my schedule like this week? And what did I do, or what didn't I do? And taxes is the other one. Did I remember to pay that sales tax or not?
Hey, do you have one of those rainy day lists in the shop? If we're slow, so let's work on this stuff.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Everybody has one. In fact, I just created a new one. We were at a class last week talking about lift safety and how, you know, we all maintain our cars properly, but do we maintain our lifts properly? And you know, he was going through a list of things that ought to be checked on a monthly basis, and I'm like, oop, guilty. So I actually created a new list that when it's slow days, we're going to be maintaining our lifts to make sure that they're safe for our technicians.
So does that's lift safety piece go into your process and procedures booklet?
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Are you big on that? Processes and procedures?
Yeah, you know, I never used to be, but the more I've learned over the years, in order to be able to create the same thing over and over and over again, especially as you're changing employees and whatnot, it's a lot easier to have that process and procedure written down so you can take it and say, look, here's what our process is. It's all written out. Read it. Let's talk about it. Versus, hey, how do you guys do this? Let me think. How did we do that last time? So, yeah, absolutely. Very, very important. And it's one of the big things that throughout this year and 2016, I'm actually – one of my goals is by the end of 2016 is to have all of our procedures and policies written down so that anybody could come in, grab my binder, and go.
Bingo. That's where the world's headed. In fact, that's where all great businesses run from, a great set of processes and procedures.
Exactly.
Hey, if you could go back in time and do one thing over in starting your business, what would it be?
The first thing that comes to mind, and I hope I don't step on any toes with this, but the first thing that comes to mind is when I got into business, I didn't really think I could do it all on my own. So I asked for assistance from a friend to be a silent partner in the business.
Okay.
And it didn't end well. But if I had to go back and do it again, I would just bite the bullet and do it by myself.
Well, you're not the only one who's had those kinds of parting of the ways.
Uh-huh.
Can you recognize a significant change in you as a leader since you started?
Oh, my word, yes. Pretty much I can put it back to like 2008 is probably the biggest change that I noticed in me and in my business, as I was going through a time where, you know, the economy was crashing and everything else. And I started looking around and I'm like, wow, I'm crashing myself. How do I prevent myself from crashing? So I got involved in ATI, Automotive Training Institute.
Sure.
And that was really a huge changing point as far as me, as far as how to run the business, how to manage it and lead it rather than always having my hands in everything. I wish I could sit here and say that 7 years later, I don't have my hands in everything, but I'm learning to let go. And it's a good feeling.
It's a process, isn't it?
I didn't think it would take me 7 years plus, but yes.
So you're a micro, not a macro kind of manager.
I guess I have my ideas on how I like things done, and okay. If they don't do it exactly that way, then it's just like, forget it, I'll do it myself.
I had a tough lesson years ago on that. I was never satisfied with certain projects I assigned to people, and then sooner or later, they wouldn't lift a finger to do a thing, knowing that I wasn't never going to be happy. That hit me upside the head. I started to read leadership books way back then, and I started to realize exactly how I was going to get people to work in the vision that I had. Hey, you reading any special books right now?
Right now I'm reading a book. I always want to call it The Energy Bus, but it's not The Energy Bus. It slips my mind. That's what happens when you turn 50.
Really? When you turn 50, what happens?
I forget things.
They're called senior moments, by the way. I just want to let you know you forgot about that.
Yeah, it's such a good book. I forgot the title of it.
Well, you may want to pick it up tonight.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Hey, what's your escape?
My escape from everything?
Yeah, what to go out and re-energize yourself?
The beach.
Ah.
The beach.
Where's the beach in York, PA?
There is no beach in York, PA. I have to drive to Delaware or Maryland, you know, down. I have to get away. But that's a time, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I hate going to beach. It's so boring. I can just sit there and it just clears my head. A lot of times that's where I do most of my reading. When we take vacations
right.
to the beach,
I'll
grab a good leadership book or something and I'll go through it. But that's my escape, the beach.
Great. Take us to an aha moment, your biggest aha moment. Tell us the story.
Again, I think it was back in 08, 09 when I started getting some really good training through ATI. Not trying to put a plug in for them, just it was part of my life. But
are you still working with them right now?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Okay.
I think one of the biggest aha moments is, you know, you go through owning a business and running it, and you start to pick up those habits of, oh, I can't charge for that, or, oh, I can't do that, or, you know, if I do that, my customers are going to leave me. If I raise my labor rate $5, everyone's going to go somewhere else. And I think the biggest aha was when I started to do incremental increases, and it was like, wow, nobody noticed, nobody really cared, because they don't really care what my labor rate is. They really don't care what I'm charging per se.
Mm-hmm.
Their big thing is I need my car fixed, and I need it fixed properly, and I need it fixed yesterday.
Right.
So when you concentrate on doing a thorough job the first time so they don't have to come back and getting it back to them as quickly as you can, pricing all of a sudden doesn't matter. And so when I started looking at some of those things and I was like, wow, it really doesn't matter. I think a lot of shop owners focus on the wrong thing. They think everybody's concerned about price. And while price is a part of it, people are more concerned about getting their cars fixed properly the first time and getting it done in a quick manner.
Great story. Great humbling story. Strong teams always win. You know that, Keith. What's your winning formula for developing a great, strong team?
2 + 2 = 4.
I thought that equaled 5.
Yeah, sometimes it does, doesn't it? I think the strongest thing is communication. And I know a lot of people say that, and I know it's probably oversaid, but I found in the past I did not communicate well with especially my service manager. And so when it doesn't, when the communication doesn't start from the top and trickle down to the next person, it never trickles down anywhere else. And so all of a sudden people are not able to understand, or, you know, they don't want to follow because they're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. So one of the things we implemented, maybe about a year or two ago, every morning we have an 8 o'clock huddle. You know, we start work at 8 o'clock, and the first thing we do is we all gather around by the office door, and whatever things I need to talk about, I talk about. Whatever things the service manager needs to talk about, then he kind of explains, here's where we're at today, here's what we got going, here's your first jobs, all right, let's go at it. It doesn't take but 5, 6, 10 minutes at the most. But that was a game changer. It really was a game changer for us as far as being able to communicate better.
Great. What kind of warranty do you offer to your customer?
Currently, we're at 2-year, 24,000 parts and labor. Being associated with Napa Auto Care Center.
Okay.
That helps. Plus, if they use their Napa Easy Pay card, it actually takes the warranty up to 3 years, 36. Which has been a good feature for us to be able to get people involved in that program.
Anything you feel your primary supplier could do to improve relationships with you?
Not relationships. We have a fantastic relationship with our local providers, whether it be Napa or somebody else. We have a fantastic relationship. You know, if you wanted to know what I think they could do better, I just wish they would stock more parts. It just seems like lately it's getting harder and harder to get parts for certain things.
That's a good point. Let's talk about that. So out of every 10 parts that you'd order, are there 7 of them in stock, 8 of them in stock? I mean, you can't have 100. You know that, right?
I wish we could.
Well, because they need $1 billion worth of inventory, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What's the percentage that they say yes?
Again, some of it depends on what you're getting, but I would say out of 10 invoices in a day, let's just say we did 10 invoices in a day.
Sure.
Probably six to seven of them, we have to wait for parts.
Whoa. 6 to 7 you have to wait?
No, I'm sorry.
No.
6 to 7 we have the parts.
Right.
I'm sorry. So it'd be...
So three to four,
30 to 40%
you'd have to call someone else. And call
someone else, or we have to wait for them to come in from another store.
Another store or warehouse.
Local, yeah, our local Napa store actually owns 5 locations, so they can pull them from other stores. But it slows down the process a little.
Technician training. What's your preferred way of getting training?
Beat them over the head. You will do this. No.
Oh. Okay. You know, that works depending on the size of the mallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been truly blessed with some great technicians right now. They're the ones that are begging me for training, and so I don't have to pull teeth or bribe them or anything else to go get training. If there's training, they're there. Our local Napa store provides training throughout the entire year. We also will attend whatever else comes up. There's some training going on down in Exton, Pennsylvania. The 14th of November, my one technician really wanted to go to it, so we signed up and off we're going. So, yeah, it's I'm truly blessed right now with some great guys.
So they have an agenda of wanting to be perpetual students. They want it. They realize that their livelihood depends on this training that they get.
Absolutely. They see the value of it, and they are there.
Do you ever pick up the phone and call your supplier and say, hey, the guys are talking about these kind of classes. Can you bring them in for us?
Yes. The nice thing is, you know, we get a list of classes that are available, and they're scattered out through a lot of the repair shops here in York, and then mm-hmm. they pick the most popular. But there was an instance even this year where there was one that one of my technicians really wanted, and I had to push and push to get it. And we didn't get it this year, but he did assure me it will be in the lineup for 2016. So I usually go to my technicians and say, what do you want? I mean, I know what I would want them to take, but I don't want them taking, you know, basic electricity 101. We need the advanced stuff. And so I let them pick, and they're always picking good classes that are going to sharpen their skills.
So if you had a choice right now, you had an opening in your shop for a tech, B or an A tech. Is it better to, in your mind, to have grown that tech internally or to go out and hire on the outside?
Good question. it just so happens I hired a tech about a year ago, fresh out of school. And he graduated high in his class and everything. And I thought, wow, you know, this is great. I can take a guy that has no bad habits and I can train him how Quality Service Center wants him to operate. And I thought, this is perfect scenario.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder than it sounds.
did you use a mentoring program?
No. I just kind of brought him in and I worked with him myself.
Okay.
And I think what was a downfall was I worked with him for several weeks. I'd even say maybe 2-3 months to make sure that he had a good foundation on how we did things. And then I let him go. I let him go too early. It should be, if you're going to bring someone fresh in, you almost need someone to work with him probably for an entire year. It's just the way it is. To groom one is in my opinion would have been the best thing, but now that I've done it, it's a whole lot more work than I thought it was going to be.
Got it. Latest equipment purchase or technology upgrade you just made?
I guess I updated my Hunter wheel alignment.
Well, ka-ching.
And we had a Hunter alignment system, but it was running Windows 95 still. So
today, that's a relic.
it was a dinosaur, and I mean, it still worked.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
It did exactly what we needed to do. But I finally bit the bullet, and yeah, cha-ching! It's been upgraded, and love the new setup. So,
do you have any unique system or workflow improvement that you've recently upgraded that's really made a difference in the shop?
The only thing I can say right now is we hired a customer service rep, a young gal, to basically wow the customers, party with the customers, whatever you want to call it. Her responsibility is to make sure that that customer is wowed to death when they walk in the door, when they leave the door, or if they're waiting for their appointment. That's her job. I mean, she has other things.
So her title is CWO, Chief Wow Officer.
I'll have to go and tell her that today. We gave her an official title.
Chief Wow Officer. That's great.
That has really made a huge change. It's actually freed up my service manager. The customers love her. She's a hoot. She's a hoot.
So she had the right personality to drive what your expectation of good customer relations are.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's wonderful. And yeah. So she's into having fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've got some podcasts out there. Specifically, if anyone wants to go out and listen to Bill Hill's podcast, they do such off-the-wall things at Mighty Auto Pro in Medina, Ohio. It's so worth it. I mean, you know, we all have favorite episodes, but for great takeaways, Bill Hill, go out and listen to that one. So what's becoming your best method, Keith, to acquire new customers?
That is something I'm still working on. There's a lot of methods out there. The two things that are working tremendously for us right now is we have our own in-house customer referral program.
Okay.
Good customers bring good customers. And the other thing that's really working well for us now is we're hitting Google hard. We're doing the things that we need to do to be found high in the rankings on Google. So between the two of those, that's bringing us in all of our new customers, really.
Can you create customers for life?
Can I or can the industry?
Well, answer it however you want.
I believe you can, with the caveat of it takes a certain kind of customer to be your customer for life. I've obviously been being in the business now for 18 years. I've seen enough of my customers come and customers go, and ones that I thought, wow, they're really good customers. I lassoed them in, and then they just go away. We all go through that as owners. But I think what really matters is you take care of them, you wow them, you love on them, you suck up to them, whatever you want to call it. You mm-hmm. do all those good things, but the bottom line comes to, did somebody else wow them away from you?
Sure. Do you think that the post-transaction relationship helps keep them for life? And the reason that I ask is, I've interviewed some shop owners. Doug Whiteman is a great example, where he has someone, and it sounds like your chief wow officer, who would pick up the phone and call customers so many weeks after a repair. How is it? What's going on? And staying in touch. Do you think that kind of post-transaction relationship would help build customers for life?
I'm going to say yes and no. And that's something that we just started implementing with the hire of this young gal. She is actually doing thank you calls 3 to 4 days out after someone's been in. Plus, with our in-house marketing that we do, we're constantly keeping our face in front of them, which is what you need to do. But I just believe that some people are just never going to be your customer for life, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's some people that actually like the fact that we call them and thank them and whatnot. And then there's, we have one customer, man, he's been a customer for 10, 12 years, but he says, I love you guys. You do a great job. You don't need to call me. You don't need to send me reminders. You don't need to do any of that stuff. It's a waste of your time to do it for me.
Got it. I mean, everybody's got their tolerance level.
Yes, I guess.
Do anything with YouTube, like showcasing repairs that you perform, Twitter? How heavy do you use social media?
It's one of the things that I'm really working hard on in the past year and a half. I have my own YouTube channel, yes, and I do post videos on there of things that are happening in the shop. I use it more for social interaction, but it is also some training time. They're not long, drawn out, boring videos. I try to keep them 2 minutes or less. But some people are just amazed when you show them, why was it so expensive to put that thermostat in my car? And then yet when you show them their car all torn apart and you show a video of everything that had to be done to do that, then they almost sit back and say, wow, is that all you charged me, So it's been very good. But yes, I'm on YouTube, Google Plus, Facebook. I do some things on Twitter. Not enough, but we're active.
So what was the title of that thermostat video? Was it called Open Heart Surgery for Your Car?
No, actually, I think the title on that one was Why Are My Car Repairs So Expensive?
Okay, same thing.
Yeah.
Community efforts. What's going on with your philanthropic efforts?
Well, on a business level, again, we're with Napa Auto Care, and our local auto care shops get together twice a year to we sponsor a baseball game at the local ballpark.
Okay.
And we usually do it to honor a either a fallen hero or an injured hero, someone from one of the militaries. And so that's really been a big boost to just get the word out that, auto repair is more about, we care about the community and everything. So we do that. We just got done doing a $500 giveaway of free car repairs to a deserving family. It was really neat to be able to call the family up that we gave it to. And, he was like, really? Like, who put my name in anyway? And I get $500 free. I mean, he was so excited. So that was really neat to be able to do that for him. And then as a business, we do support a local agency, Bridge of Hope, which works to help get homeless moms off the street. So I'm actually involved on the board over there. It's really neat. It's heartbreaking to see the number of moms that need help, and you can't help them all. But it's really neat when you finally get to work with a mom, get her a job and teach her the skills that she needs and be able to hold down a job and a house and everything else. And so it's very rewarding.
Does something to the heart, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's really cool.
Good stuff. Is the car dealer a big threat to you?
No. The local car dealer here, I won't name any names, but the local car dealer here, we are constantly getting people from there. They're like, I'm so fed up with them. I get treated like trash when I'm over there. And we've even gone to the point in our business where if somebody's car is in and there's either a warranty issue or there's a recall or something like that that can be done at the dealer for free, we take care of it for them. We take the car over. We tell them, you know, let us take it over. We'll handle. We know how to talk to these people because some of them are just so upset dealing with the dealers. So I don't consider them a threat. I think they're actually helping me.
That almost sounds like concierge service.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the people love it, you know, because we're all about taking care of our customers. Last night, my wife picked me up at one of the local dealerships where I had to drop a car off. Going in for some warranty repairs, and people just get fed up being treated like trash, and I don't mean to be harsh, maybe that is being too harsh, but they don't feel like they're being, it's all about the money when they go there, it's not about a relationship, whereas with us, it's all about the relationship.
Excellent. Keith, put on your virtual sunglasses, you're at the beach, you're
yes.
thinking... Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Probably where I'm at. I kind of have a 10 to 15 year plan that in about 10 years, you know, I'm going to be over that 60 year mark. And it'd be nice to be able to start turning things over to the next in command.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the next 3 to 5 is probably more of just grooming the business to be, you know, self-sustaining with or without me, even though I'd still be there and involved probably as much as I am now. I have more of a 10 to 15 year plan. I'm too young yet.
Got any great wise words to live by?
Treat everybody as you would want to be treated. I mean, I know it sounds cliche-ish and everything, but, you know, when you treat people how you like to be treated, it makes a world of difference. And I apply that in no matter what I do, even, you know, because I have to deal with outside help. You know, I have to have plumbers come in and electricians and things like that. And, you know, sometimes they do the job and they don't do it right. And I just call them up and I'm just, hey, look, you know, I'm sure something unusual happened, but, you know, the faucet's still leaking. Could you come back out and take a look at it? Whereas some people be like, hey, you idiot, the faucet's still leaking. Get over here. I treat them kindly, and then they come back, and they're like, oh, you know what, I'm really sorry. So I just kind of, you know, treat people how you want to be treated.
Great words. Thanks. Well, Keith Katz, Quality Service Center in York, Pennsylvania, I had a blast. Thanks so much for being on.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much for inviting me. This was really cool.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.